You may have a seat. All right, how's everybody doing today? I'm looking out there, and I'm thinking to myself, you people do not have enough Mr. T in your life, and it shows. So, let's let him, come on in, Mr. T. Oh, that's not Mr. T, that's just Jack. Never mind. Let's play Mr. T introducing our time together today.
You listen up and you listen good.
Listen and listen good.
Oh, I don't hate that boy, but I pity the fool.
Yeah, I pity the fool. Well, I pity the fool that makes that mistake.
I pity the fool.
Yeah, I pity the fool, but I pity the fool. Well, I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
Hey man. This time I'm gonna do it my way.
Let me hear you say I pity the fool.
What you talking about?
Hey, I pity the fool.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
I'm pitiful.
All right, as I watched that video, I realized I might need some time off. So, love myself, Mr. T. I don't remember eating the cereal. Anyone here ever have the Mr. T cereal? Of course, Mike. Probably Matt. Yeah, I was picking that. I even loved the cartoon. He was like a coach of a gymnastics team that could fly or whatever that was. So, but I really did it because it's a theme that we're going to be looking at. And I honestly was thinking about calling the sermon title Pity the Fool, but I couldn't go that far. So don't be a fool is what we're calling this, okay? I was going to, last week we were in Proverbs 3, we introduced Proverbs. I was going to bounce back to a psalm. That was kind of my plan. And God just didn't feel right about it. And then I thought to myself, I've always wanted to dig down deep into that theme in Proverbs of being a fool, right? Because can you put up there for me the streams clip that we had last week? So if you were here with us last week, I said Proverbs are like, they're not like promises like hard-clad 100%. They're directions that you can go in life. So if you look at a stream or a river that's flowing, like the proverb says, hey, get in this stream because this is where it's generally going to go. And so the biggest theme in Proverbs is wisdom. And we talked about that last week, wisdom, right? That's the stream you want to go. Well, the opposite is the fool, right? And the fool is not necessarily, it often isn't the person who's, the goofball, like, this is a moron. No, that's not the fool. The fool could be rich, could be prominent, could be successful, could be anybody, because it doesn't mean that you're a goofball. It means you're doing it, you're entering streams that aren't wise, that aren't based on God's word, right? And so I wanted to take a dig, dig down in what does Proverbs say about foolishness? Because I don't know about you, but I sometimes entertain a little foolishness. Anyone else? And if you don't think, you're going to change your mind by the end of today. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for just gathering us here. Thank you for those who are online with us as well. We don't forget them, and so grateful they're with us. Lord, I pray that, first of all, just thankful that we have already had the opportunity to worship you through song and our faithful worship team, through prayer, through fellowship, and just people who hunger after you, hunger after your truth. So I ask for you to use me as a vessel for your truth. Lord, it's not an easy subject. Sometimes as we dig down and think, boy, sometimes I confess I'm a fool. Lord, we want the wise streams. We desperately crave that. In Jesus' name we ask this. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I probably most of you who, if you are members, have already voted, but if you haven't, afterwards you'll have that last opportunity for our three elder candidates. Hopefully we clarified well that this is not an election. Like, you know, we got Jeff over here with the sign, you know, vote for Brian, and Brian saying vote for Jeff. We don't have any of that. All three of them can be... I noticed, Jeff, I noticed. The bumper stickers were good. Also, I know a lot of people have asked about, like, looking for, not Bob's replacement, we'll never replace him, but new hires. I just want to let you know that we are knee-deep in interviewing, and God's put some really interesting people, so just all I'm asking you to do is pray. This has been my prayer through the whole process. God, as you know, I am dumb. So please, show very clearly who you want to be a part of our church family. So, you can feel free to pray that, right? Maybe not the dumb part, but you can pray like that because I know God will show us that. I know he will. All right, so I just wanted to dig down and not being a fool. And usually if you know me, most of you do, I like expository preaching, so I like to go through whole books or whole sections. Even when I do a topic like this, I like to usually focus on one. It's just a lot healthier to do that. But Proverbs doesn't really lend itself to that, right? It's especially between chapters 10 and 29, there's just all these fire, just coming at you with all these different practical things, those streams to enter. And so as I looked, I wanted to kind of trace through. I'm not looking to get them all, so don't panic, because I think it's around 70 times the word fool is in Proverbs. So we're not looking at 70 verses. In fact, there's three different words that they translate as fool. My favorite is only three times, so it's the least amount. It's Nabal. And if you remember the story of David, there was a guy there who was so hard-headed, he didn't even ever think to entertain what David was saying. And it got him killed. And his name was Nabal, literally called the fool. I don't know what his parents were thinking, but there you go. And so there's so many verses in Proverbs talk about not being a fool, instead being wise. So I want to look at how do we recognize, so that's going to be the first, then why is it important to I'm back on here. Let me just pull this up again. Sometimes I try to talk and do this at the same time. It doesn't work well. Here we go. Technology. Okay, so we're going to look at how to recognize a fool. Also, why does the Bible say to avoid it? Like, what's going to happen if you don't? And also, lastly, really quick, what's the antidote for foolishness? And now I'm giving you a benefit of the doubt in this room, right? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. How to recognize a fool. And my benefit of the doubt is that that's not you. But it might be you. Let's just be honest. Because a fool, again, is not a clown or a weirdo. It is you are going the opposite direction in general than God's word says you should, right? But it's still important to recognize someone in our life who might be a fool, right? But I have kind of put in parentheses, also don't be this. Because even if you're not in general a fool, like I said earlier, like, foolishness does tend to creep in, doesn't it? Foolishness. And so look at these as, all right, how do I see, from God's perspective, you're a fool? Number one is Proverbs 10:23. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. All right, wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. So he gives us two contrary ways, right? So we said wisdom is not just general understanding of life. It is actually taking God's word, God's truth, and putting it into practice, actually doing it. That's wisdom, right? And so he's saying there is this one person who's like wants to take pleasure in understanding. He wants to take pleasure in things that are wise. He wants to take pleasure in things that God says you can take pleasure in. This isn't just being in church, but it could mean spending time with your family and taking a walk and looking at nature and saying, this is awesome. Like, that is wise. Right, having dinner with a friend, and you know, it takes, you know, a long, I'm not talking about Pop-Tarts in the car, you know what I mean? We're talking about long, leisurely dinner where you're just enjoying each other's company. I think that's wise for the most part, right? Unless you're not talking about good things, right? So what's the other one? Well, the other one is taking pleasure. So the first thing you see is a fool takes pleasure in things that are not good. That simple, right? I remember, don't judge me for this. This is back in my undergraduate days. I was not yet a Christian, so I went to a party, all right? I did. And it wasn't exactly, you know, a rager or anything. It was pretty small. It was in someone's dorm room, and it was probably a pretty boring party. But I went with a few friends, and I remember distinctly, I've never forgotten this, standing in this room and just kind of hanging out, and this guy enters the room, and I could just tell right away, don't get near him, right? You ever met any of those? Maybe you're sitting next to one right now? No, just kidding. In fact, let's put it, Eric, why don't you be that guy? Because you're the exact opposite of the guy that I'm talking about. Kenny, you're way closer, so I'm not going to have, no, I'm just kidding. But he was big, and he was much taller than me, and he was just, right? And so he enters the room. Come on over here, right? He enters the room, and as he's, you know, slapping backs and saying stuff, as he comes around, just kind of slowly, this is what I did. Without really, like, kind of just keep going. Pretend this is the room. And a couple of my friends are walking with me, and they're like, what are you doing? Was this like a merry-go-round? And I'm like, I'm not getting near this guy. Look at him. And I didn't use the word fool because I didn't really understand it, but that's what I was thinking, right? And so, thank you, Eric. You make a great fool. Appreciate it, brother. Good job, Eric. 9 o'clock service, we used Josh. You were way better, Eric, just so you know, right? Way better than Josh was. And so like, I didn't understand what I was doing, but here's what I knew. And I think he threw a chair at the wall at some point, and people got hurt. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. I just kind of instinctively knew. Now I know what that means. It's like people who enjoy hurting others, enjoy celebrating things that are wrong, people that enjoy, like, avoid those people, right? Be careful of those people, and don't be one of those people, right? Often, it's things that the world says are okay. And so the person's celebrating that. Lots of people are celebrating that. The question is, does God celebrate that? Wisdom streams have a lot less people in them than foolish streams. So be careful about going into the stream just because a lot of people are saying this is awesome. Be careful of what we're celebrating. Second one, how do you know if it's a fool? Well, Proverbs says, the vexation, I love that word, of a fool is known at once. But the prudent ignores an insult. So number two is how someone responds to, we could say, he says insult, but let's just use a softer word because sometimes we think it's an insult. Let's just say criticism. And sometimes criticism is meant to be insulting, absolutely. But sometimes we take it as an insult, but it's constructive. And so the fool does what when you tell him or her something? They blow up at you right away. We don't have anyone that does that in our current culture climate, do we? It's one-upsmanship, right? That's what it is. Oh, yeah, well, you're a blah, 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 blah. I'm not a blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. That's what he says. You know a fool, as soon as you give him any kind of, they just blow up right back at you. Or that's foolish behavior. What does the wise person do? The wise person, first of all, you know, because it's not easy to hear criticism, and certainly not easy if it's insulting, but they close their mouth, they open their mind, and they take time, they pray about it, and they see if there's anything to it. Can I learn from that? Even if you didn't give it in the best manner, can I learn? How humbling is that? That's hard to do. That's called wisdom. Can I, if you did mean to hurt me, can I forgive you? If we do need to reconcile, how am I going to go about it? Well, you're ugly too. Like, that's not going to help. That's what the fool does. That's not what the wise person does. So that's how you know if someone is a fool. This is prized in our world, isn't it? You know, to take criticism and to, like, humbly think about it, like, who does that? Wise people do, right? That's who does that. All right, thirdly, how do you know a fool? The discerning sets his face, meaning that's your attention, that's the direction you're going, toward what? Wisdom. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. So again, contrasting. You know a wise person because he's got his or her face set on the wisdom of God. That's what I want. You're going to blow it all the time, but this is the direction I want. These are the streams that I want. This is what I want. What does a fool do? He's instead got his eyes at the ends of the earth. Now, what does that mean? That's just a phrase that means you're constantly distracted by shiny things of the world that are probably unattainable, and even if you get them or get them partially, they don't satisfy you. I call it like this, like your squirrel. You ever done that? Your dog do that? Well, it's spiritual ADHD. Now, I'm not talking about the condition. That's legit. I'm talking about spiritual ADHD. Where you're just, you're trying, like, you can't focus. Because you're like, and what happens is like, oh, I need that. Oh, I need this. Oh, and you're constantly being battered back and forth. He says, that's a fool. Always after something else. Always going towards, because you can't focus on the way God wants you to do life. To take a moment with this, because I think as we think about this verse in our culture today, we have let, I mean, you know this, but we have let a lion out of the cage that will not be put back. We can't reverse this, at least we can't. And that is the way technology has evolved to the endless scrolling. And I was talking to kids, right? Most of us, to some degree, whether it's the gram, the book, the talk, whatever it is, right? It's Facebook Marketplace. I'm buying stuff, right? Whatever it is. And I'm not saying it's sinful, right? It could be. Depends on what you're looking at. I'm just saying I believe this has not only come from but has added to a disastrous level of spiritual ADHD. Because here's what happens. Let's say before bed, you get, and you're just scrolling. Even if it's your algorithm is, you know, or you're looking at, say, another family's on vacation. Just, you're not going to be able to help thinking, I really wish I was on vacation. Or, I can't take a vacation like that. Where'd they get their money? You know, stuff like that. You don't mean to. This stuff is constantly taking our attention. I want that. I want that. Or fear, because does your algorithm know that what really gets you going and fired up and angry, right? And that's what, like, you're just going to go to sleep after that. And so I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying that we have to, in our own lives, we're never going to be able to put this lion back, we have to gain control of this, if that's you. And maybe it's not. One of our elders, Tom Dion, last night reminded me he doesn't have social media, so he's above the rest of us. And I said, yeah, but that news station you watch a little too much of? And he's like, shut up. And I was like, yeah, see? We all got it. So it might not be that, but I do believe, by and large, and especially the younger we get, that has become a disaster. And it's this ADHD, spiritual ADHD. So we have to say, all right, Lord, what is wise? What time do I turn it off? Do I fast from it for a week? Do I not scroll before bed? And maybe just read a verse or read something else or just think about something. Let your mind rest and think about God. That would be a lot wiser, I think. And regardless of how it might affect you, just to be aware of it, right? And so that's one way is seeing what a fool is. A fool also, from Proverbs 18:2, takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You know what? I don't even know why I have this one. Nobody in our culture does that, right? Of course. It is, speaking of online, that is added to it, but regardless, the fool is somebody that does not want to hear the other side. You are wrong, and in fact, you are not only wrong, you're evil. You're a bad person. I'm going to tell you something that's profoundly wise. This is why you pay me the big bucks, you know? And are you ready? You're not always right. I know. Write it down, right? Here's how I know I'm not always right. Because A, I'm not God. I know I'm not God, and he's the only one who's always right. And B, I got to be honest, I look back at my track record and I'm like, ooh, if I was a baseball player, I'd be hitting like 250. Like, it's not good. There's a lot of wrong back there. And so what would make me think in my present and future I'm going to bat 1,000? That makes no sense, right? And so you know you're not right. You might be right in this, but you know you might not be, right? And so all the fool does is, I'm right, you're wrong, you're an idiot. That's the fool. That's foolish behavior. To just constantly want to spout my own opinion. The wise person has a closed mouth and an open mind. The fool has a closed mind and an open mouth. And I got to say, we have in the next several months an election coming up. Did you hear this? Did you know that? Someone's like, no, I didn't know that. Where have you been, right? And just like it seems like always the last 20 years or more, we're already in this disastrous mess. It's just crazy town, right? And so here's the thing. We can add to the foolishness. And I'm not saying you don't have opinions and all that. You do. But the foolishness is, I'm right and you're evil. That's foolish. Or we have, and I'm talking to believers, if that's you, we have an opportunity in this mess to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, I was just thinking this the other day, and if you know me, I'll never do this, but the last, like, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, I've just been, and this is just, I'll put God's word here, okay? And I'm over here. So it's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong. Like I said, I don't bat well. But I've just been, I feel this sense as I listen to different things that either the Lord's coming real soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'd be great with that. That might happen. I feel like that could happen. Or we're going to see some type of revival here. I am hearing and seeing people talk about Jesus that never would have 3 years ago. I'm telling you this because I think you might be in your own way when it comes to sharing your faith because you think nobody wants to hear it. Some will be angry. I know that. But I think there's more people than you might think that are interested in spiritual things. Young people especially are hungry for truth because they're not getting it anywhere. And so I'm just saying all that. We have an opportunity in a place where everyone else is saying, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. We have an opportunity to say, well, tell me your side. I love you enough to hear. I might not agree with you. We have an opportunity to say, you know who's actually more important? Jesus. And invite people in that way. That's wisdom, right? Not being the fool who just wants to express his opinion. I mean, I know you think you're going to save the world with that meme, but trust me, nobody really cares except for the people that agree with you, right? It's an echo chamber, and it's not going to help. It's an itch that I like to scratch too, believe me. But God's word says, let's be wise. Let's be people that point them to truth and light, not participate in the foolish darkness. Let me give you one more, and this is just because I love it. A lot of you know this one. Anyone own a dog? I love me dog. I have a dog. I have cats, dog, had them both. Some of you are only dog people, and you're like, those cats. Like, you know, here's what I will tell you. Cats never do that. They throw up and tell me to clean it up. Dogs eat it up. It's gross. Now, not all dogs, right? Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool that repeats his folly. Oh, they've been gone a few years, but Moose and Coco, big chocolate labs. They ate everything that came out of their own bodies. I'm sorry, lunch is coming. I'm sorry. It'll be a good day for a fast, okay? It'll be fine. They did, man. It was so disgusting, right? So like, why would he say this? But he's saying this, this is how you recognize a fool or foolish behavior. Because when you throw something up, why? Your body's like, no, that's poison. We don't need that. And so a fool goes, let's try it again. Let's eat it. Nobody would do that. You wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Dogs do it. They're kind of foolish sometimes. So it's like a two-year-old. They touch a hot stove. Ah! You know what? Let's try it again. The fool tried a certain way, a certain stream, and it ends in disaster because it's not God's stream. It's not wise. And now they are out of it, and now they're like, you know what? I think this will work this time. Right? It's a definition of insanity. You get into a relationship, and you did everything the exact opposite the way God said to do it. It ends in disaster. Now let's say you're entertaining another relationship. Let me just do it the same way I did it before. It'll probably work out well. That's a fool. You started a business, and you were a little greedy, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to cut some corners, and I'm going to not pay my staff well, and I'm going to treat them poorly. And they all left. You had no good people, and your business went under. So let's say you start a new business. Who are you going to hire? How are you going to treat them? Still poorly? Or maybe you're going to do it God's way. See what happens, right? That's the idea. Do not let these foolish tendencies. We learn from our mistakes and our problems and our disasters. We all do. The fool keeps going back to it. Like the sewer rat I talked about last week. Why can't I find any good guys? Because you're in the sewer. That's who's in the sewer, sewer rats, right? It's going back and back and back, like banging your head against the wall. And this foolishness can creep into our lives, and we need to kill it. So how about then, Jamie, if clearly being foolish is, you're saying you don't want us to do that, but why? Like what kinds of stuff does that bring into our lives? Why to avoid a fool or being a fool? Why should we avoid that? You know, because we can't completely avoid fools. I mean, some of you are sitting one next to one right now. Don't look. Don't look. And if you're like, no, I'm not, you're probably the one. I'm just saying. No. But we work with fools. You got fools. Like we can't get away from it. Of course, we got fools all over the place. And I'm not saying you shun people. I'm saying be careful how much you associate with them, right? Let's see what the wisdom of Solomon gives us. In 17:12, it says, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. I can't tell you how many times as a kid I was told to, if you meet a bear that has cubs, to not go near it. I mean, I don't understand why this advice was so necessary, but I heard it a lot. We had some woods around, but I mean, come on. Like, so obviously, you go up to a mama bear and start petting her cubs, she's going to eat you. It's just not going to go well. And this proverb says this. You would rather do that, get slaughtered by a mama bear, than join up with the foolishness of fools. That is some serious pain, right? Like, why would you become a business partner with a fool? Why would you date and work towards marriage with a fool? Why would you do that? Because he's so dreamy. Because the way her hair falls in the sunlight. Right? Yeah, but she's a fool. He's a fool. Why would you let them do fool things over there? You're saying, I want streams of foolishness when you do that. You're new to town, new on campus, new school. And you're like, I just need some friends. These people seem like fun. Well, maybe evaluate that a little bit. I learned a long time ago, I don't want to run with fools. It causes so much pain. You would rather, forget about the she-bear for a second, you would rather be alone at home counting the clock tick, eating your bonbons with all your cats who throw up everywhere. You'd rather that, and that's pretty sad, than run with fools. That's what he's saying, because it brings so much pain, right? Another one, he says, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Honor and foolishness, it shouldn't go together, right? It's like it's like snow in the summer. It doesn't make sense to honor a fool. And also causes great damage when you honor a fool. That's what he means by rain and harvest. When if you have a harvest and it pours rain, that can really do damage to that crop. And so he's like, honoring a fool, why would that create so much of a problem? It's because, well, the fool's going to think, yeah, listen to me. Right? I'm going to lead the way. And it's just a fool leading you into foolishness. I think this happens, and I don't mean to, I'm one of the biggest sports guys you'll know, and I love cheering on my favorite athletes, but in the end, they're 20-somethings that can put a ball in the end zone or in the hoop or in the goal, and sometimes they're wise, but just because they can do that doesn't mean we should listen to these guys talk about life. But they do, because they're honored. Musicians, songwriters, movie stars. So what? You can act. That doesn't mean you're wise. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But we show them honor, be very careful of how much damage that can do to saying, oh, I love your song. Tell me how to live my life. Like, that's silly. We do it. We're prone to doing it. Or not necessarily famous people, but wealthy people. The richer they are. Oh, yeah. We talked about that in the James series. Oh, you're rich. You must be really wise. Maybe, but maybe not. A lot of them are not. Not according to God, anyway. So it can cause all kinds of damage. How about this one real quick? Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Well, that's nice. It's going to be, they represent you. If it's a fool who represents you, your message ain't going to bring, it's going to be cut off at the knees and it's just going to be danger and violence for you, you're better off not sending a message than sending it with a fool. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, says Proverbs 27:3, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Like, I brought my, yeah, you guys know how strong I am, right? If you're visiting with us, I'm really not that strong. Although, it is kind of heavy, to be honest. This is not as heavy as it looks, right? Imagine, I'm going to say imagine, because I'm not carrying this thing around. I did that last night, and it was exhausting, all right? This is on your back. That's what he says is associating with fools. Here's the problem. Fools do not have God's truth to stand on, so they have to stand on the ever-changing popular truth of culture, right? So they need people to follow them in that stream because that justifies. Well, it's true. We all think it's true. Oh, okay. And so the fool goes with them, says, I don't know. All these people say this is true. I guess I will too. You may as well put a huge rock on your back or sand. No, that's a great weight you don't want to carry. You would rather alone stand in the truth of God's word because this is wisdom, not foolishness. Let me give you one more. There's so many others, but this is one more. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. I know I said this is the last one, and it tends to get your mind to tune it out, but I need you to look at that again. Because again, we are in a messy place where people are arguing all the time. And I'm not saying rational, logical, kind discussion doesn't need to happen. It does. It always does. It needs to. You're not going to understand perspective if you don't discuss. But this is saying, if you're a wise person and you suddenly find yourself in an argument with a fool who has the closed mind and open mouth, and it becomes very evident, what do? Keep arguing with them? Well, this time they're going to understand. No! It's just going to cause so much more angst for you. And that's what he means. It's just, there's no quiet. You know what's quiet? Yeah, thanks for the discussion. I'm out. Love you, I'm out. I'm going to go do something else. Don't keep going down that rabbit hole because it will cause all kinds of angst in your life, arguing with a fool. Okay, so let me just leave you with the antidote. We have an antidote. In fact, I have it over here. Yep, pills. What I call the PTF pills, pity the fool pills, all right? I'm glad you laughed because this took me 3 minutes to get this organized in my office. Kids, don't take these, all right? Just don't do it. So just imagine, like, all right, I need an antidote. I don't want foolishness, and I'm going to be honest, Jamie, I got some foolishness creeping into my life, all right? Well, here's your antidote. This is the ingredients to your pity the fool pills, all right? And it starts with, I know. You're like, Jamie, you ever have anything else? I don't. You aren't going to have wisdom without God's word. It's not happening. It just isn't. And I'm not saying read the Bible once and now you got wisdom. Right? You need God's truth because that's what wisdom is. And over here is a lot of people saying do this. So if you don't know this, you're going to get tricked into it. I've been there. You probably have too. Let me just say this, though. If you, like, anyone can gain a little bit of knowledge and understanding from reading this. But the real, only real way you're going to get wisdom is reading God's word in Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? It means you have put all of your faith and trust in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He died on that cross in your place because you could never pay for your own sins. He rose 3 days later so that you can have new life in him. When you put your faith in that, you may not have felt different, but you were immediately. You were no longer a slave to sin. You are now, there's so many other things, but one of the things that happens is the indwelling Spirit of God in you. You have him. And he does this thing called illumination, it's called in Scripture. So now when you read it, you might not be the greatest scholar, the greatest reader, or even as you're listening to it, or even as you're hearing a sermon being preached from it. Like God gives you insight. You're like, where'd that come from? It came from him. And so I say that if you really want wisdom and you've not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to do that. You could read this and get a few insights, just like you could read any kind of good book. I'm just saying this, you need Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you need to be in this continually. Don't just read it once, say, oh, I think I got it. No, you got to keep reading, keep praying it, keep memorizing it, keep studying it, keep gathering with others and looking at it. And so the second pill or ingredient to the pill is pray for wisdom. It's real, like we talked about that in the James series. We forget to do that sometimes. It's like my prayer said at the beginning, I'm dumb, show me. That's really just asking God for wisdom. I want your answer, not mine. Do you pray for that? You should. As you're in his word, in Christ, pray for wisdom. Third, practice it. Just find, like, whether it's a sermon like this one, and you're like, you know what? I have been a little closed-minded, and I have a friend or a coworker who believes differently than me. You know what? I'm going to get buy him lunch and just say, just tell me why you think. I might not agree with you, but I'm going to do that. That'd be a great way of practicing, right? It'd be hard for some of us, but it'd be a great way. Maybe it's just, you know what? I'm just not going to scroll before bed. I don't know. And I was talking about sermons. When you read God's word and you read that and you're like, okay, how can I do that today? Not everything, but maybe one or two things. What? Because anything else, you got to practice it, right? Nothing's going to become an expertise in your life unless you practice it. So God's word, wisdom, practice it. And lastly, and this is the one a lot of people cut the corner, that's why we're here together, not just by ourselves, watching sermons online, is be around wise people. There's actually, I know we don't look it in here, but there's actually wise people in this room. There are, because they're in Christ, and they're reading God's word, and they're living life. If you took up a trade, you do need the classroom work, right? But where do you really learn? In the field with the master. And I don't know if there's anyone here who is a master in wisdom, but we have some people who you need to be around. That's why we have groups. That's why we have ministry teams. That's why you just even here together. That's why. If you see, a marriage, you're like, man, that looks like a godly marriage. Go ask them how they do it. That's why we had, the parenting groups. It's just a couple parents getting together saying, what do you do that works? This seems like a hard job. That's just gaining wisdom from each other. And our older people, it means you can't shun younger people, even if they're a mess. And younger people, I know they can't even turn a computer on. I get it. But they have a lot to offer you. Don't tune. That's why a church with multiple generations is necessary. If we're all young, we're excited and dumb. If we're all old, we're a little slower, and we're not learning anything. We need each other for God's wisdom. That's the antidote. So you won't be a fool, because we pity the fools. Amen? Mr. T's a Christian, so that's good. Let's pray. Father, we give you this time because, man, I admit myself and confess that there are times of foolishness that creep in. It feels like daily, and the attack is constant, and I'm sure I'm joined with so many here. We confess that before you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, the streams of foolishness that we're in or about to get in or entertaining, Lord, would you show us and give us your wisdom. Give us ways to practically apply your truth. Lord, if there's anyone who's just never given their life to Christ, they've never just said, Jesus, you are my Savior and Lord, would you give them the faith to believe? They need faith to believe, even now. They'll never do this on their own. God, help them to see it. I can't help them to see it. You, God, help them to see it. Lord, we don't want to be fools. We want to be here, like Mordecai said to Queen Esther, for such a time as this. You have us here, not where we might want to be, but you have us here for your glory and for the light of your gospel. Give us the strength and the gifts to be obedient to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand with us, let's sing.